This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Shoot Chats, hour four of the Nation. Rangers pregame coming up at 6:30. Big four-game series with the White Sox here getting underway tonight. And we've been talking about them. We'll have more on that coming up 20 minutes from now on the Expressway. Then with Jared Sandler coming up at 6 o'clock. It's time now for an edition of the finest. Here's Wolchuk.
All right, so ESPN has put out their 2024 NFL future power rankings. They're projecting all 32 teams. So they asked their panel of experts, Dan Graziano, Lewis Riddick, Aaron Schatz, to rate each team's quarterback situation, roster makeup, front office, and coaching staff using this scale. 50 and below is an F, 60 is a D, 70 is a C, which is average, of course. 80 would be a B, very good. 90, A, great. Or you get 100, that's an A+. That's elite. After averaging the results from the panelists, each of the four categories were weighted to create the overall score that we will see here. So, if you had to make a guess for the next 3 years, the NFL future power rankings, your number one overall team, whom would you select?
Niners,
okay. San Francisco.
You know what's next 3 years?
For the next 3 years. So San Francisco's number
Kansas
seven.
Kansas City's easy to say.
Yeah.
I'm going to say with this, this is my total wild guess.
Okay.
Houston Texans.
I thought Houston would be...
I'm saying 3 years.
Yeah. And I like what you're going there because they're going to have this rookie quarterback window.
Right.
Houston's at number six.
Oh, okay.
Reason for hope, D'Amico and C.J. Stroud coming off stellar rookie seasons. Each look like rising stars. Front office showed this offseason that it'll be aggressive in adding talent. Reason for concern, run game. If improved, the offensive line to be able to win at the line of scrimmage, they can have a very good 1-2 punch with Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce, but there's doubts they can establish the run game. They're the only offense with two wide receivers ranked in the top 10 last season in terms of production on their tracking metrics. Niners were seven, but number one is Kansas City.
Oh,
and a lot of that
I was gonna
is
guess.
They're over. Oh, were you? Well, I mean, you did kind of mention KC,
I did,
though.
Okay. Like they were the easy ones. Can I say, where do they have Green Bay?
Green Bay, and that's another one. We'll see what happens with this quarterback situation, but they're number nine.
Are they really? Okay.
Green Bay's overall roster was ninth. Their quarterback was ninth. Their coaching was 12th. Their front office was fifth.
Okay.
They were very high in that regard.
Miami?
San Francisco at seven. Their overall roster was number one. Their quarterback was 11.
Ooh.
Their coaching was 2. Their front office was 16. And I think one of their concerns is obviously for the future. They're going to have to pay Brock Purdy. Mm. How does that impact them?
Mm.
Kansas City at that top spot, their overall roster was at 2. Quarterback 1, coaching 1, front office 2. So they think they've got the perfect blend. Obviously, you got the best coach. You got the best quarterback, your front office is really good, and your roster is good. And they have been drafting exceptionally well. So they think they're going to keep rocking and rolling. Which was the team you asked about?
I asked about the...
You said, oh, Miami.
Miami.
10.
10.
Miami's at 10. Overall roster is 11. Quarterback is 16. That's what's weighting them down. They're not believers in Tua. Coaching at 10. Front office at 14. There's not a single NFC East team that is listed in the top 10. The Eagles are at 5, but the Cowboys come in at 14.
Yeah. I mean, the team with the best chance to be Washington if the new ownership can change their culture and the quarterback hits, then that would be the only one that's got a chance of looking really promising.
Brandon Ayuk or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that could help them out. I guess right now, Washington, they don't know what they've got at quarterback. They can't rate that high.
Yeah, so they're probably 23rd.
They're 22.
Yeah, okay.
So like 24 is their overall roster. They've got their coaching at 20.
Oof.
The quarterback, they're rating middle of the pack. Front office is at 20 because that's also new. You don't really know what's going on with that.
Okay, of those teams that are like the 7 and 10 teams.
Yeah.
I mean the 7 and 10 of the records, Chicago, Atlanta, where do they have those teams?
Chicago... in Atlanta. Okay, so you've got Chicago's actually not that high. They're at 20.
Okay.
They've got 19 for their overall roster. Quarterback's their highest ranking at 13.
That's what I thought.
Atlanta's not very high either here. Wow. Atlanta's down at 24.
Oof.
And their quarterback's actually the highest part of this.
Who is 32 then? Is it New England?
Their front office is very low. New England's at 26. The worst team on here, future power rankings.
Arizona.
It's the Raiders.
Is it really?
Overall roster's at 31. I think they're getting hit on that a little bit. Quarterback's at 32 because I guess they're going Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew. They don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
For the future, who is their quarterback?
Right.
Coaching's at 29. And their front office is at 28. I mean, it's hard to
You know what? That
they're
makes
waiting
sense.
It down.
That makes sense.
But the Cowboys, I mean, I guess right now you've got massive questions about their future. So even them at 14, I thought was interesting. 13's their roster, 8 at quarterback, 20 at coaching, 15 is their front office.
But is it 8 at quarterback for the next 3 years? So they're kind of, are they thinking that
they're thinking Dak's not going anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah. And Lewis Riddick's a big Dak guy.
He is.
Big fan of Dak Prescott.
Sure, I'm really surprised it's not significantly lower. These next 2 years are a flush. You're getting your cap back in order. You have big contracts coming up.
Yeah.
These are tread water
I thought
years.
They'd be lower, too.
And you got to bet that they're going to draft so well here next spring and the spring after that to pull them out of there. To me, they've kind of lost their draft momentum. You know, and we'll wait to see if they can recapture that glorious era from about 2011 to 2022 or 3 that they were just on a roll.
Eagles are getting lifted big time. They got the number one front office on this list. And their overall roster, which doesn't include the quarterbacks, it is 6. So they love the roster. They love their front office. They're coaching those at a 14.
They cannot hire a coach.
Yeah.
You know,
I that's the problem.
After Andy Reid, I mean, the Chip Kelly thing was a disaster. Doug Peterson was nice that they won the Super Bowl with him, but obviously he wasn't anything. And then, you know, Nick Sirianni, they have multiple assistants that are getting plucked away that have appeared. Maybe that's the guy you want to go with.
They fired both their coordinators last year, right?
They did. And now they've got new coordinators again. And you just had to have the owner come out and endorse Nick Sirianni he's still a believer. Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting that the Eagles seem to always be very high. And I do think their front office is good. I mean, I think we've envied Howie Roseman on a lot of their moves, but it is crazy how they were 10-1. Completely fell apart. And you lose Jason Kelce at center. Their offensive line is just kind of getting older and being picked off every single year. But the coordinator moves are really what's going to make or break their season.
They've invested a lot in that defense, especially that defensive line. If those tackles and linebackers don't play out, that could be
really bad.
That could be, yeah.
Really now, USA them. Today just put out their 2024 NFL record projections.
Where's Detroit?
Detroit was pretty high on that. Detroit, I believe, was in the top 10. I got to pull that back up. Hold on one
I'm
second.
Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
Seem like they've got the right coach.
They've
got the right roster.
By the Ravens were 2.
Yeah.
Baltimore was 2. Buffalo was 3. The Lions were 4.
Okay.
So the Lions were pretty high. They had 3 with their overall roster, which I'm with. Coaching was a 3.
Yeah.
Front office was a 6. Quarterback was a 12. Quarterback's their lowest with Jared Goff, which isn't even that low. I mean, I guess at number 12. But NFL Today, speaking of the Lions, I mean, that NFC North looking pretty good. They've got their 2024 NFL record projections they just put out there. Cowboys record projection, 8-9. They've got them losing the NFC East to the Eagles at 10-7.
Yeah.
They've got the Packers at 13-3 winning the North, followed by the Lions making the playoffs at 11-6, and the Bears making the playoffs at 9-8.
Bears ahead of the Cowboys, right?
Yep.
Kind of what the deal is for
Cowboys
the seventh spot.
Cowboys don't make it at 8-9. They don't make it. They're a game back.
I struggle to see them falling that much to 8-9. But if you look at, you know, Tyron Smith's presence and how much he calmed things down as far as the pressure and let Dak cook in the passing game last year, that's why I think, remember last year at this time, the interceptions were such a big storyline?
Yes.
Dak was coming off multiple years where Tyron Smith couldn't be out there. He's out there for the majority of games last year. The protection was better. The picks came way down. What happens now? You know, and
I'm scared of no running game and Dak having to throw it 40 times.
That's a fair concern.
And I'm going to say this, it's not going to be all Dak's fault.
No.
But he is going to try and make every single play, you know, and that could be not good.
Yeah. I mean, hey, and I guess there'd be some that push back and are like, well, did they have much of a running game last year? Tony Pollard still ran for 1,000 yards. I don't know that we're looking at this roster and saying, does anybody have the capability to do that? Yeah. They're going to need a lot of help when it comes to that running game. Now, I saw this. Equanimeous St. Brown and Amon-Ra St. Brown have a podcast together. And Lucius, this will be from the St. Brown pod. It's their dad, John Brown, who was a world champion bodybuilder.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, like, okay, people ask him all the time. They had three Division I sons. He's got two of them that are now in the National Football League. How the hell were you able to do this? This was his answer, and I wonder if anybody else thinks this way.
They want to know, in general, how I did it. I believe in breeding. You gotta pick the right girl and the right guy. Look at you. Good athlete. I got that black gold in me. Mama got that big chin and big toes. I said, look, ain't nothing wrong with big toe woman.
Big chin. Who says a big chin?
You gotta think of this stuff. Some guys don't think of it until later. They go, like, I'm standing at Pop Warner. You wouldn't know it. You're on the field, and one of you guys on the field playing. And I was talking to a guy, told him this story. He goes, you were thinking about that, John? I go, yeah, you weren't. He goes, hell no. Okay, man, he's little, the wife is little, kids are little, everybody's little.
It's over?
Little. Chicken little.
little.
His kids aren't big.
They're not big, but they're freak athletes.
They're athletic as all get out, but they're not big kids.
No, but, I mean, my gosh, they're fast, they're strong.
No, there's no question about that. But
I mean, I don't know
I would
many...
not call them genetic freaks for size.
Not for size. I would agree with that. And I don't think he's like overly a huge guy either.
Most of those bodybuilder dudes are pretty short.
But man, I mean, he clearly has the athleticism. Wifey has the athleticism.
Does she track or anything? What's her story?
I mean, clearly he described she's got the big chin. She's got the big toes. Like he was looking for some build there.
Yeah.
I just don't know if anybody else is anyone else scouting him out. I did have a buddy of mine that did talk to me about this. Like, he was looking into this stuff when he was trying to figure out the dating world and who he wanted to marry. For me, like, no, I didn't really think too much about that. But I wonder if there are dudes out there that are like, yeah, I'm scouting out for breeding purposes here.
Well, man, that word's so uncomfortable.
It is. But I want some D1 athletes, baby. I'm trying to build some Olympians.
Well, we saw what Christian McCaffrey, like with Ed McCaffrey and mom.
Yeah.
So you got, you know, and then... What about our soccer gal, the old tight end from the Eagles? It was at Arizona.
Oh, Julian Zach Ertz.
Yeah, Ertz. Like their kids will probably be, you know, something that, yeah, you get, like I say, I think you'd have to have like, let's look for Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham's mom was a big time track athlete at LSU. Dad was a good player at LSU. So, you know, you look at him, he's kind of got freaky athletic ability. You know, almost messed up saying that.
With the freaky?
Yeah, the freaky part.
Damn, Equanimee is 6'5". I didn't realize he was so tall. But okay, Amon-Ra is 6 foot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I thought they were both kind of... So one is 6'5".
Amon-Ra is small. Equanimee is huge.
Equanimee is
not as good as Amon-Ra.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. All right. Yeah.
But interesting. And a lot of ability. Yes, folks are definitely scouting from the 214. Got to always check those ankles from the 512. That's a good reference
there.
But I didn't know that necessarily people were eyeing it like that. But it makes a lot of sense, I guess.
Yeah, the basketball girls, the volleyball girls.
Yeah.
You're looking at them, especially if you're already, you know, athletic.
Gymnasts?
Well, you know, I told you that they become buff little dwarfs when they get older. But, yeah, they pass on some athletic genes to your kids.
Yeah. But then, like, your son was good at baseball, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it worked out.
I'm pretty athletic. Mom's super athletic. Yeah. It worked out.
There you go.
Yeah.
You can go to youth sports and, like, find the best players without even looking on the field. Just go into the crowd, find the big, tall dads who are still stronger in hell, even though they haven't worked out for, like, 5 years. They're like, yeah, you know, I'm just... And just look who they're cheering for. They're going to point them out. So
what about the mom slogging wine, though? What about the mom that's slogging the wine at the event?
It's a little less predictable with mom.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If mom is slogging wine with the Yeti cups, it's kind of like, well, what did she do?
But you find a superstar player. Mom's probably over there in a tracksuit.
Yeah.
New sneakers on.
Yeah.
You know.
Or she's,
you can tell she was working out, maybe ran a couple of miles
looks
this
fit.
Morning. Yeah.
Hasn't absolutely. Let herself go.
Dad's skinny, got bow legs, pigeon-toed little guy.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be an outlier.
Yeah.
I'm hoping my daughter can be that.
You'd be all right.
918, absolutely, I thought about it. I'm 6'2". My wife had to be at least 5'7", and she is...
Do you have an athletic kid? Do you have a Scully kid?
Is your kid athletic?
Yeah.
918 follow up. Is the child athletic?
You got to watch it too. If you got like, if you like certain things, like I like short girls.
Yeah.
It means you get the short kids.
Yes.
You got to pay attention.
Now, you know, not to bring up, you know, getting in the way of true love, but LeBron fell in love in high school sweetheart, you know, and now his kid, one of them's only 6'1", the other one's only 6'4". Yeah. I was thinking about that today. Like, if you go back in time, do you say, sorry, I got bigger plans, I'm waiting to pluck a gal out of the WNBA or something, you know, I'm going to maximize my kid's
LeBron
chances.
And Angel Reese.
Man, imagine that situation.
Thank goodness gracious.
Yeah, so... there's a lot of ways you can go with it, but
it was interesting. I thought it was awesome. The St. Brown pod.
St. Brown's dad, like I saw a show on him when they were still in college at Notre Dame. He thought about every single detail,
dude. He does, and he steals the show on that on the receiver on Netflix. I know you said you were watching that.
Yeah, I've seen it.
He's great in that. He's so funny.
Yeah, he reminds me of C.T. Fletcher, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mom's not only an athlete, but she was an educator. Dad had all these sources with the supplements. So it was like, hey, make my young sons the perfect protein powders and everything. I'm going to get them gassed up. And this started at like 10 years old.
Yeah.
You know,
they Todd Marinovich like was coaches. Like this.
Yes. Okay. It was the same as like a Marinovich or a Ball or a Woods.
Marv Marinovich was he was a psycho.
See, my worry
without
is
the
like,
psycho parts.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. He was a psycho. Resenting me, right? They lose the joy for the sport.
Yeah.
They're basically like trained at such a young age. It's
what about
like their
Tiger
job.
Woods.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to let that passion come from themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to be natural. I want you to love to do this. Otherwise, it's not worth it.
No, it's not. One of my best friends growing up was gifted in long distance running. Like we would go vacation and there would be like a 12-mile bike loop around for the kids. And I would ride my bike and he would be running the entire thing multiple times a day. His dad was on his ass, though. Like he had a running schedule in the middle of vacation. He got to D1. Where he was one of the top recruits, and by the end of his freshman year, he was like, I'm done.
Flamed out.
He caught a little side of freedom. Yeah. He was like, I never want to run again.
I'm out.
Not worth it.
So, I got to be careful on that. It's rare that I think you can actually, you know, thread that needle and have all your work and efforts pay off, because without the passion, without the desire to keep, you know, doing it, the kids will ultimately just, you know, want the independence, and the independence means...
even the Heisman.
All right. Thank you, Wolchuk. It's time now for the Expressway. We'll take you commercial free to the top. Mavs made a signing. There was another a close call for Team USA, and we'll do those stories and more when we get back here in the nation. Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. It's time to hit the Expressway. We take you commercial free to the top every night at this time. LA Live's coming up in about 15 minutes. Segment of the Nation is brought to you by Soda. That's state of the art. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And the Expressway itself is brought to you by the on-time experts. Look like LeBron James, real American hero for Team USA. It was a turn back the clock for him. On the ropes for a second straight game. And LeBron balled out, Brian. I'm sure you know that by now.
Say
it,
Schroeder for Germany, like, cost them the game.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't good down the stretch.
Well, yeah, he's their best player. Can't make a shot.
Can't make a shot, yeah. By the way, did you see LeBron is going to be the flag bearer?
I did?
Yeah, yes, Lucius will be excited about that because Lucius likes to watch the
opening ceremony.
This Friday?
Yeah,
Buddy.
Yeah, he's gonna go walking in. He'll like hold it up. He'll
pretty
be the
sweet.
Guy.
Might be an extra pep in his step after this game. I mean, he's no stranger to taking over games, but this one with extra drama, 101-100. LeBron with the game-winning layup with 8 seconds to go, scored 8 vital points, and amidst a flurry of steals, rebounds, and general brute force to lead the USA, finished with 20.6 boards, 4 assists, which is a huge stat line in international play.
It make you nervous?
A little bit.
Yeah, it should. Yeah. it definitely should.
South Sudan and then Germany. I think Germany won the Basketball World Cup last year.
They did.
So it's a very good team, similar to their soccer team. You know, they don't always have the absolute game's brightest stars, but the way that they play with their chemistry, their organization, and stick to the same plan, it was brilliant. But individual genius is what won out. LeBron went on a basket, steal, basket, rebound, free throws, rebound. During the middle of the fourth, teammates bouncing around the bench area like children at a recess watching it all play out,
wow,
goes the story. Germany does have Schroeder plus three other NBA players. They have two Wagners and a Theus.
Yeah, Wagner. Is, yeah. I was going to ask you guys, LeBron, fountain of youth, now that he knows with his situation with his son, do you feel like that he's kind of got a new, like a new being now? Like, not that maybe they're going to play together a lot, but just now that he kind of knows that his son and him are going
I
to get
the chance. I can see that energizing you. I think for him, this is like the playoff LeBron kicking in. You know, this is my absolute best, where a lot of times in the regular season he's pacing himself. This was, wow, my guys don't have it today. We're about to lose to Germany. I can do this.
Yeah, he's got a different energy probably this Olympics than he has previously, because he was always going to the damn finals. They lose in the first round. They had swept this year. Yeah. He's had a couple of months off to recharge now.
Where is LeBron among the best players in the game right now for you?
I still think it's hard not to put him in the top 10 because of moments like this. I think at any given point, he can turn it on and be the best player on the floor. I think when it comes to his basketball IQ, his ability still to play defense, like the all-around game, I still think it's hard not to have him as a top 10 player.
I'm just
How's he not top five at being his age?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, his age.
He's the greatest
is.
Old player we've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But I mean, just for his age and how he's doing, I mean,
unbelievable.
If you're grading on a scale, then yeah, I think he gets extra points for that.
For being old and being great. Yeah,
I was just wondering, like, if I want to win an MVP and I'm going through the regular season, I'm not putting many eggs in LeBron's basket, but a playoff series is starting tomorrow. You don't have any player. Right. How many players get taken before you get to LeBron? I'm not taking Anthony Edwards first. I'm not taking Shai Gilgeous-Alexander first. I mean, it's like Jokic, Luka, or I mean
Giannis.
Yeah. You know, obviously he has the championship.
Taking Tatum?
Do you have the vision? Hell no, I'm not
taking Edwards.
Tatum. Maybe Luka, but I don't know. I think if you took LeBron James and said, let everything else go where it does, you might be doing it right.
I mean, they were in the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago.
Yeah,
it's not like they've fallen off or he's fallen off that much.
It's the construction of the team, and the league has shifted from one player carrying us to you better be deep 1 through 9, be able to defend multiple positions and being able to switch everything. And if you can't do that, you know, which is LeBron's roster, it's top heavy. It's built for 2012, not 2024.
Pick one old player to win one game. Tom Brady or LeBron? Like old player. Oof. They're in the twilight. But this old player is going to get you a win.
I got to go with LeBron based on the last time we saw Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, that's LeBron. A year ago, and LeBron can still play defense, block shots, rebound amongst the, you know, best athletes in the game.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, Spencer Dinwiddie is back for the Mavs. What would you say to him if you're the Mavs after he shunned you after being a buyout of the trade deadline? Said, he joined the Lakers saying they're more title ready.
Yeah, he also said you're kind of like getting beat up a lot playing at the Mavs. I mean, he clearly regrets that. Yeah, they're going to play that back for him every once in a while.
Definitely.
But no, hey, good to have him back. Needs to, you know, I trust what Nico and those guys and Jason and the guys are doing over there. You know, everybody has a role. And, you know, see what his role is when we get there. And you know, he's one guy that can be a ball handler. He can make shots. I think he averaged like 13 points this year.
Yeah, can defend. We've talked about the injury issues at times, like how healthy are Kyrie and Luka always going to be? Now you've got a legitimate option if they have to miss time. Spencer Dinwiddie's a guy you feel pretty good about, can come in for a stretch and play good ball for you.
Yeah, I think he's a perfect fit. You know, obviously if he's younger and could play defense better, if his knee was what it once was and could get vertical a little bit. But this is a big, big shot maker. You know, multiple game-winning shots the season that he was with the Mavs. So I like what it is. Hopefully they don't have to use him a lot, keep him fresh for the playoffs, and hopefully that role is good for him, because I think, you know, already when you're looking at this team with Clay added to it now, you're starting to get a little long in the tooth and bad defense with a number of members of your rotation. And I'm looking to, you know, give my younger defensive guys, especially during the regular season, more of a look. But the other part of that is I don't think anybody should make the mistake of decreasing the Mavs' postseason chances. Two out of the last 3 years, you're going into the playoffs kind of as an afterthought, like, oh, yeah, here's this other team kind of middle of the pack, probably. And you end up in the conference finals with the Jalen Brunson, Reggie Bullock, Dorian Finney-Smith team, and then to the finals with this team. You know, to me, that doing that in two out of the last 3 years cements an idea that this team around Luka is especially built for the playoffs. Jason Kidd knows how to coach in the playoffs, and maybe they aren't focused enough in the regular season, but if anybody gets bought out at the trading deadline and is a veteran thinking, oh, the Mavs are in sixth, I don't want to go there to championship chase, I think you're going to regret that about mid-May. Okay, Turner Sports intends to continue its longtime relationship with the NBA. It's a win for us, I believe. The $1.8 billion deal that Amazon Prime Video did, Turner said, yeah, absolutely, we'll match it. It seems like the entire time they were just kind of playing coy, like, yep, I guess we're done here.
See.
But that offer was, you know, matched by Turner, and I believe that means that Charles and Shaq and Kenny and the whole crew will be back.
They were going to be back anyway.
They had one more year. This is going to be the last dance.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what happens to Barkley after this next season.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, maybe this, Chuck just says, "Hey, I'm done with this."
Yeah.
Well, all good things have to come to an end. Sure. I think it's been the best sports show on TV for a long time. It's rare that you can get, you know, the good information, yes, but the entertainment factor for those guys was second to none, and the opinions were always good.
Let me ask you this. Watching this show, do you feel like you watch it more just for what they're going to say or really what they're breaking stuff down?
Yeah,
I kind of feel like I'm watching three guys and Ernie that maybe not are watching the game full time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, the best part is them making fun of each other and Shaq and Chuck just poking at each other and wanting to argue and fight. Yeah,
are we really working hard to kind of learn the league? Or are we just having fun?
Yeah, it's fun. It's the chemistry of it.
Yeah, I heard that about Charles like 20 years ago, that he's back there just cracking coldies and, you know, kind of watching the game, kind of cruising around, talking with people on the phone. But, you know, I think it's kind of a misnomer, a misperception that, you know, people are tuned in for the absolute best information and the great breakdowns. It's more for the vibe, the entertainment factor, the reactions to the big plays, you know, and an occasional take, you know, like they have good opinions, like this is good for basketball, this is bad for basketball, you're an idiot. Just, you know, that whole kind of hangout, I think, is what ultimately attracted people.
Why haven't more people tried that then? Are they trying?
Talent.
I think it's just rare that you're able to find.
I think the baseball, I think they're trying to do it with Ortiz. I think they're trying to make Ortiz on that baseball show kind of like Big Pop,
and Big Poppy's a fun personality. I mean, yesterday for the Hall of Fame enshrinement, he's up there, he's rubbing Adrian Beltre's head real quick, runs back and sits down. Beltre's like, "Who the hell was that?" It was Big Poppy's a jokester,
sure,
but it's just tough to find that entire desk like they've got. They get it, they get along, they've got that chemistry. That's rare. That's special when you're able to find that. Maybe you can get one or two. But like Jeter's uptight. You know, maybe people like listening to Jeter for the X's and O's of it. But Jeter's not that guy that's going to be loose and having fun. And Ernie's just the perfect captain of it all, who's also not super self-serious. He can joke on himself as well, poke fun at everybody else. But when we need to be like back and get stuff set into business, I can do that for you.
Just, I think Charles Barkley has the strong takes. You know, I mean, even during his playing days, his "I'm not a role model" quote, it turned into a marketing campaign. And agree or disagree with that, he's got a way of polarizing the audience and a charm to him. I think that really made that show go from the beginning. And then you just kept them together for so dang long. You know, a lot of these shows, it's just like every two or three years, it's another spin. And, you know, the guys just don't have that it factor. That is,
I really do like the Greg Olson type of broadcasting where I learned something.
Yeah.
But I understand why people do like the comedic value, and they're like, "Hey, listen, I might not be watching the whole game here."
Sure.
You know,
it's also like they're legends of the sport to where you still value what they're saying. You know, like maybe they're not giving you the greatest breakdown.
They'll admit it. Like, but Shaq's like, I don't
yeah, like one. Shaq can look and tell me how good this big guy is.
Yeah.
It's like Derek Lively. I mean, what do you think, Shaq? I value what Shaq's going to say regarding that.
But he might not watch all the games.
No.
Yeah.
You know, he's not interested in watching the games.
No, and I think most people would rather, instead of watching him break down the footwork of what made him special, just call a guy a bum.
Yeah.
You know, he's a bum. Yeah. I retired guys like that in my day to a season, you know, and that's, it's the bits and the entertainment factor, which is, you know, why we're celebrating it. It appears they'll be back.
Yeah.
Okay. ESPN ranked the best baseball players of the 21st century. Okay, who do you think won that? Who would you take in all of baseball? But you know, more than that, if we localized it, who's the greatest Ranger of this century? At 877-881-1053, the best baseball player to don a Rangers uniform since the year 2000. I mean, maybe you know, you love Michael Young and everything that he stood for with consistency, the captaincy. Obviously, Corey Seager, you know, what he did. Cliff Lee was amazing, but very short-lived.
Pudge.
Beltre.
Pudge, yes. Beltre should absolutely get some votes. Evaldi, I don't think it's clear, though. And if I got to win one game, one series, maybe just give me sober Josh Hamilton.
Yeah. You know? I mean, as much as we don't like him, A-Rod. I mean, what A-Rod did during that stretch as a Ranger, MVP. The numbers he was putting up, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, I think there is an unlikability with A-Rod.
There is. He seems like a pompous D-bag.
Beltre definitely, maybe Scherzer, says the 817.
Okay.
I mean, most accomplished baseball player career-wise to ever put on a Ranger uniform, Max Scherzer's in that discussion. While you get some of those texts coming in on the Franklin injury attorney text line.
I listened to Hagee and Bass and those guys talk about it this afternoon. They said that Beltre was not a Hall of Famer until he got to Texas.
He wasn't. In fact, when the Rangers signed Adrian Beltre, there were some fans not happy because they wanted Cliff Lee. Cliff Lee left. So Beltre felt like it was a consolation prize.
Yeah.
He was coming off like so-so. I mean, the injuries were there. And then, obviously, you go to the World Series and Beltre took over as a fan favorite.
Yeah.
Bastic actually put together like his top nine. Pujols, Ichiro, Cabrera, Trout, Kershaw, Jeter, Beltre, Ortiz. I don't think anybody's as good as baseball as Shohei Ohtani. If you gave me everybody.
That's tough to argue.
Yeah. With the pitching aspect and the batting aspect?
Yeah, there's comparable hitters. But nobody that could also go throw you a no-hitter.
He almost hit one out of Dodger Stadium yesterday or something. Some great season.
Yeah, he had like a 463-foot home or something insane.
He just, it seems like every time he comes to the plate, he hits something really hard somewhere, you know. But he's one of the best I've seen when it comes to that hitting. My gosh.
I think it was Tim Kirchen had a great story about Pedro Martinez as well during all of the All-Star game coverage that we had here on The Fan. And Pedro, yeah, I mean, like I was a kid watching what Pedro was doing in the Red Sox finally breaking the curse. But Pedro Martinez was damn good as well. You talk about a big game pitcher in the playoffs. Well,
did you mention Kershaw there?
Yeah.
Does he have the stats for the guy or did he just write him down?
Wrote those names down.
Yeah, like if you look at Kershaw's stats, as far as all the things that he's done, you know, the World Series, all these things. He's even Gold Glove. His resume
is
really impressive.
I mean, Miguel Cabrera hitting for some triple crowns. Like, Miggy was really, really good. If the Rangers weren't in the way of those Tigers teams, they might have been able to have more success, go to a couple more World Series.
Mm-hmm. Albert Pujols won it. Obviously, 703 home runs, three-time MVP, 11-time All-Star. Trout was number two.
Hard that, man. Trout
is so good, but it is tough.
It's hard to justify Trout when he's not playing all the time.
Well, and how much of the, you haven't seen him in the postseason.
Yeah.
Like, how much more do we glorify these guys and rank them higher because of, obviously, the playoff success?
Like Larry Fitzgerald. Great player. He didn't always see him in the playoffs.
But he did have that one great playoff run.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Most dominant run I've ever seen from a wide receiver. So at least he's got that. Like he can still say, hey, I got my chance, and I made the most of it in the playoffs.
915, Odor for the punch. 940, Nelson Cruz. 940, Hank Blaylock. There's a name I didn't think I was going to see
Mark Teixeira.
Here. Juan Gonzalez. Colby Lewis, definitely the toughest.
Colby.
I tell you, I was at the All-Star game the other day, and Colby Lewis got off the elevator. We interviewed him, man, just huge.
Dude, Colby's
He's so stout.
He is.
Like, he got off the elevator, and it's like there were people behind him, and you couldn't see the people behind him.
He's
that big and wide.
Yeah. It is time now to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius has LA Live.
Here we go on a Monday, Friday, right into the great Rick James.
All right, you squares. Time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance some of everything. Everybody get high. Think about it.
Yo,
ever stop and realize how fragile all this is? How fragile the whole structure, how easily it could all just break right down? Just break right down. Wouldn't take much. Probably happened in less than 2 years. Wouldn't take much all to throw us right back into barbaric times. All you'd have to do would be eliminate electricity. That's all. But completely. No electricity, no lights. You're back to candles and lanterns, campfires and bonfires. Batteries couldn't be recharged. Generators couldn't be refueled because fuel is pumped electrically. So is water, by the way. So no lights, no fuel, no water. No computers. And computers run everything. And among the many things computers run that operate on electricity are all of these security systems in all of our jails and prisons and nut houses. Police wouldn't help you. They'd be gone at the first sign of trouble. They'd be home protecting their own families. So would the Army and the National Guard. You'd be alone. You'd be on your own. You'd be SOL and JWF. Shit out of luck and jolly well f***ed. Out of luck and jolly well f***ed. After a couple of years of living like that, beheadings would be the least of your problems. People would be lining up to be beheaded.
Yeah, that's what came to my mind on Friday when that CrowdStrike struck.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And had a global shutdown of anything connected to Microsoft on that update. I thought about you, Mr. George Carlin, the great George Carlin.
The great George Carlin.
This is LA Live for Monday, July 22nd, 2024. It is a Monday, Friday here in LA Live. Word to Pete. Pete! LA Live is sponsored by Kissable Dental and their no-bill guarantee. Book online at kissabledental.com. Your kissable journey starts today. There is a new Philly legend. He was born over the weekend during the CrowdStrike situation. Let's go to NBC 10 Philadelphia. They did an interview of a man that was stuck in the airport, Philadelphia International Airport, during the CrowdStrike crisis.
Now, this is Tracy. You were supposed to be going back to Denver. Got word that the flight was canceled. Tell me what your experience so far has been like this morning.
Well, so far we got in here from Atlantic City very early in the morning to catch our flight, and now we're very lucky that I finally had an opportunity to get caught in this. For the first time, everybody should experience this at least one time in their life so they have a story to share that they got caught in the great 2024 cancellation. It's an amazing opportunity to experience this for the first time.
Your perspective, tell me a little bit about it. You said you're laughing so you don't cry?
Yes, exactly. We need to laugh about this. We don't cry, and we're not going to... Everybody here, though, it's not that funny. Everybody here does want to get home to their families or get to their destinations. But, you know, it's a great time to be able to sit here and enjoy this with all these wonderful people and experience this wide swath of America cramped in an airport together.
Building community, for
building
sure.
Building community and having a good time, yeah. We're going to party. It's going to be a good time.
We're going to party.
We're going to party.
Well, I like it. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Keep that bar open.
He's got my vote. Man, yeah. That's a great mindset to have in that scenario.
Yeah, he was lighthearted about it. Very tongue-in-cheek.
No doubt.
Unlike this lady who had totally lost it. Yeah, she totally lost it. Poor lady. I get it. There's two different emotions right there when you're trapped at an airport.
Hope that's not us on the way back home.
Yeah, especially because I was thinking about it like this, too. Okay, airport, you need all of that Microsoft stuff. Yeah. You can't even tell if the departures and arrivals on the board because the board was blue.
Yeah.
But then you have to worry about hotel as well.
Yeah.
You can't even check in the hotel.
Yeah. Right.
Bro.
Yeah,
they were checking in the old school way where you got to slide your card. Old school, man.
Would you sign this, please?
Yeah.
They hand you a piece of paper. It gets all
garbage. Carbon
gets
people.
All over your hand.
You actually have a key, not a room card key.
Yeah.
Awful. G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. Our winner is Ross. He was in the Pimp Cup on Friday as I was out on location at Globe Life Field with the boys. And Gators got a hold of Ross during G-Bag of the Day. I'll try to play that whole clip for you in about 5 minutes. In about 5 minutes, okay? All right, let's see. Some things I've seen over the weekend on a Monday, Friday. Some things I've seen over the weekend. On Friday, a video surfaced on social media of R. Kelly.
Oh, no.
Singing in prison.
Oh.
Gave the inmates a free concert. By the way, R. Kelly's net worth has plunged to a negative $2 million.
Ouchie.
Yeah. I still listen to R. Kelly's music. It's amazing. He's in jail, too, so he's already paying what he's got to pay for.
Yeah.
And you don't have to punish me.
By Did he do some remixes? Like, if you want to come to my jail cell?
Dude, I'm not a fan of R. Kelly's choice of song. Good for you for picking that up.
Let's go.
I'm not a fan of the choice of song. You got to read the room, R. Kelly. Listen to what he sung in jail.
My mind's telling me no.
Bruh.
Wow, come on.
See nothing wrong. I do though.
Yeah.
I do though. You gotta read the room, R. Kelly. You gotta sing something like I wish, I wish, I wish.
There you go.
Or maybe that I believe I can fly. Yeah. To motivate those cats to want to get out of there. Maybe that Gotham City remix. Gotham City for the ghetto, ghetto. Or maybe when a woman's fed up or something like that, R. Kelly.
Yeah, dude.
But that was the wrong one. We don't need to be singing to a bunch of men about how your mind is telling you no, but your body is telling me yes.
No, it's wrong on so many levels. Oh, my goodness, you're right.
You can't do that. Man. My mind is telling me no, but my body is telling me yes.
I think about that sometimes when we're in a good fight. I'm like, is she fed up? I wonder.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing I can do about it if she is.
Yeah.
Well, I guess R. Kelly's got some years to get that playlist together.
Yeah, come on, R.
20 years. In there.
Hey, I wonder how much he charged the inmates to start singing. A few honey buns.
Yeah.
Pack of squares. Yeah. Everybody got to give in something, or Achilles week is a concert.
Some ramen.
I think I'd throw in on that.
Yeah, I throw in on ramen, some cookies.
A few Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, R. Kelly sing a little bit. We lost a great Bob Newhart over the weekend.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, the great Bob Newhart.
Dry as can be.
Dry, the stammering kind of delivery.
Yes,
I love the Bob Newhart. Yeah. He was a staff sergeant in the United States Army.
Oh.
Got his broadcasting chops on the Armed Force Radio Network.
There we
Legend.
Go.
Legend.
Good morning, Vietnam.
The Bob Newhart Show. And then he had one of the greatest TV finales of all time on The Newhart Show.
Newhart Show.
Where he woke up and he had his wife from the first show in the bed. That means the whole show that he had, The Newhart Show, was just a dream.
Wow. I remember how much people loved that show.
Yeah.
It was a little over my head. I don't know why Denver resident, but I always liked it when he introduced his brother Daryl and his other brother Daryl.
Yeah.
Me up.
I like the handyman. It was never really handy.
No.
Let's see what else we got. Did you guys see the Star Wars AI 1950s trailer?
No.
No.
Oh, shoot. I was going to send this to you guys. I totally forgot. I'm on.
That's weed.
Yeah, look that up. See if you can find it. At least look at it. I'm going to give you a little clip of it. 1950s AI Star Wars trailer. Like if, you know, Star Wars would have dropped in the 50s.
Uh-huh.
It sounded something like this.
In a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, here we
where
go.
Where the forces of light and darkness clash amidst the stars, a timeless saga unfolds. Behold the epic struggle between the noble Jedi Knights, guardians of peace and justice, and the sinister Sith Lords, masters of the dark side.
It keeps going, but it's
that
pretty awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
It's pretty awesome. Especially if you look at it, AI is out of control. And I can believe if I was in like a kid in the 50s and I seen that trailer, man, I would have been locked in. It still would have been a winner.
It's the best thing ever.
Yeah. So check that out, Tolos. AI Star Wars trailer, 1950s. All right.
It's incredible how they were able to create all those special effects before special effects.
Man, dude.
That Orson Welles, he scared the world. Remember that world? War of the Worlds?
War of the Worlds, when the aliens have arrived.
And people like were losing it. Like, we're getting attacked. And like he basically said, before it even started, this is just a radio broadcast.
Yeah.
Well, disclaimer
4 hours ago.
He goes, we're just having fun here, guys.
This is just a radio broadcast.
I know it's 1939, but we're just having some fun here, you know. And then next thing you know, people are losing it.
Dude, this is awesome. They've got them for every movie.
You see
these trailers.
It. Yeah, it's good, man. Yeah. It's really cool. I ran into that. All right, LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Monday, Friday. Word to PPT. Where are you? This is how G-Bag of the Day went down on Friday. You boys weren't here except for Broadus.
Oh, no.
So I'll try to put you in this place real quick. I was not in the Pimp Cup, like I said earlier. I was at a Globe Life field with the boys. First of all, I asked Ross to give me some Luther Vandross. after the G Bag of the Day intro. You know, you got to have that Pharaoh Munch. Burr, 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 like Godzilla's coming.
Right.
Second, the computers restarted on him.
Yeah, they did.
No.
And instead of checking the audio, he just played it, and the audio was not coming through. Sometimes when you restart these computers, the audio links don't come through. And you got to get an engineer in here to get you on the board, right?
Is it that one that's still running Windows 95? The upstairs studio?
CrowdStrike! And third of all, it was chaos, and my man could not pivot whatsoever, which was great.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to play this whole situation for you. G-Bag of the Day is at the very end of this clip. Sit back and listen, I guess.
Lucius Alexander live here in the flesh. It's time for a Friday G-Bag of the Day.
Yeah, let's go. Where's it?
Okay. We can do it this way. We can do it this
way.
No intro.
I can't.
Okay, we can do it this way. There's a DJ disability on the mic, ones and twos right here. Giving you some fresh flavors.
To mail it in Friday, right?
Clearly.
Clearly.
All right, well, we last left off on G-Bag of the Day. I believe this is the second day for this young lady.
Yes.
It was a lady, she caught a couple in the pool, in the community pool at the apartments. As they say on the old 70s show, making a whoopee.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were out there. It was broad daylight. This lady went on her patio, opened up the door, and said, hey, I got you.
1 second, boys. Just pulling that one up. You said that was in today's folder.
Oh, yeah.
No. All right, I'll get that pulled up here.
We're doing
a sec.
Coaching on the fly.
Yeah. That G-Bag of the Day folder, if you click on that, and you'll see a thing that says GB, and that means it's ready to go. There's a few of those in there for you, buddy.
God.
Other than that, I appreciate you having that Luther Vandross song for me on
Yeah, no problem. The second you said it, I was like, oh, man, let's go. Let's go. I can ride with this any day of the week.
Missed
all right.
Very much, though.
So, yeah, not my best work, but here's this one, this couple trying to get... They were not very, well, secretive about it.
Oh, were they?
Ross, I want to be able to throw you some type of paddle out there.
Is that not playing? Oh wow!
Oh, you can't hear this.
Double gator.
I know exactly how it feels. The gators start to mount. They're all taking turns.
Is that the crowd strike? Fingers. They've gone into the death spin.
It's the crowd strike.
Struck again.
Yeah, no kidding.
How many clap darnets have you thrown into the pimp cup?
I've gotten at least one clap, just like, dang it, you know?
So almost did it. Almost
in the play. Hey, Ross, 30K or one more day in the pimp cup?
30K, because that's still better than what's going on right now. Still better than me in the big leagues, too. That's for dang sure.
We are right now, we are going live to Ross drowning in the pimp cup. If you missed it, we're trying to get him a hand. He's having issues with things.
I don't know if one of those buttons get weird on. Even saying that.
I know, this is bad.
DJ No Clue.
This is exactly how Ross envisioned his Friday going.
Yeah, it's honestly about on par.
What's going on, bro?
Things just aren't playing for me over here. Give me one sec.
Here's the move, Ross. You blame Microsoft. I think
it's
you blame
CrowdStrike.
I think everybody across the world today, for any mistake they make, is just blaming
Microsoft
and Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers, because he's the Microsoft man. He makes all the money, and he bleeped us. Okay, and right now he's actively bleeping Ross Lebinski, trying to get his work done.
Mm. He's got to say his full name.
Maybe he's doing the Lord's work.
817 is.
I'd be spittle about
to
do that.
Together, hey, Ross. But that's 817.
Let's see if we can reenact it. Hey, you guys, get out of that pool. Put your panties back on. That's nasty water. Those kids are in that water.
Put your panties back on.
Well done, Brian.
Thank you.
I wonder if...
I've got it on video.
I'm going to tell security.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, I'm going to tell security.
Oh, man.
Security.
We went through the whole song, Ross.
We did, man. Thank you, Luther, for carrying us through that. Hopefully there's still a pulse on Ross if he gets the opportunity to throw it to break here.
Fire off the engine.
Yeah. He's having you everything spinning, I would imagine. That's why we love live radio. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just gotta power through. And we will get back to the G-Bag of the Day. Potentially.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Maybe.
No guarantee.
Maybe.
On a mail-it-in Friday.
Yes.
That was a historical G-Bag of the Day here. Appreciate you rocking with us live at Globe Life Field. It is the G-Bag Nation. Brian Broaddus is going to give us a Krusty's Corner for the ages coming up next.
Guys.
Coming up Monday morning on Sean and RJ. How did the Rangers start off the second half of their season against Baltimore? And a Josh Abbott band ticket giveaway during the expressway. It's a Monday morning with Sean and RJ.
Golly.
Eric. Somebody got to read?
What? We good, Ross? I'm sorry.
It's camp time.
Somebody got to read? Wait, are we good? I'm sorry.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah, I don't think I'll ever be able to leave the pimp coat. They're never going to let me go outside and play anymore, boys. Yeah. That's it for me.
Well, lasted.
Yeah. All right, Lord willing and the creek don't rise. And I'm talking about the body of water. That is my time. I'll holla.
Very impressive, the utter lack of panic, you know? I mean, you're making show history. For the first time in 15-year history, the G-Bag of the Day, we're not going to do it.
He had to have been like, I wonder what did we have the screen on? Like, we probably didn't have.
No, there was no screen.
It was that moment when he said, "Oh, it's not playing." Yeah. Like, no, fool, do you hear it? Respectfully.
Damn it.
My first job in radio was a board op as well. And the host, Mike Wilson, who was a converted politician to wannabe talk show host, at the end of one of these shows, he goes, "Gavin, I can see over there you're frustrated. And I'm really, really rooting for you to figure it out. But I don't know how to help you."
Oh, damn. I don't know what to do for you.
We got Hour 5 coming up next. We got a proper round tripper brought to you by Uber Eats as Jared Sandler steps in here to tell you what you need to know about your soon-to-be red-hot Texas Rangers next in the Nation.